It's 5:06, and you're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the FBI announced a nationwide crackdown on child sex trafficking. We'll talk to a human trafficking expert about the effort known as Operation Cross Country and what happens next to the rescued victims of child sex trafficking.
As college tuitions continue to climb nationally, President Obama is proposing a post-secondary institution rating system, which would rate colleges on things like tuition, how much money students make after graduation, and the future debt load of graduates. He'd like the system to be in place by the academic year of 2015.
The president hopes to reward colleges that get good ratings by sending more federal financial aid their way. But some college leaders worry about using metrics to judge their overall value, and the plan could face opposition from those in Congress who fear too much government control over higher education.
Nick Hillman joins us now. He's an assistant professor in educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison. He joins us in studio. Nick, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with those basics. What kinds of things would colleges get rated on under the plan as we know it?
Well, that's the million-dollar question because there's actually no plan yet, at least no details to the plan yet. Right now and over the next year or so, a group of experts are trying to come together with some recommendations for what ought to be measured and what ought to be included in this rating system. The details aren't finalized yet, so the jury is out still.
And, you know, some statistics right now, college tuition 3 times as expensive today as it was 30 years ago. That's adjusting for inflation. As you see it, is this a good way for the president to try to hold colleges' feet to the fire and hold them accountable?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's the question that policy advocates and policymakers have been asking for years and not really having an answer to. There's a sense that something has to be done. We've got to reverse these financial trends where college is getting more and more expensive for families. But how exactly we do that is really uncertain. And so to your previous question about these rating systems and about what's measured in these rating systems, that's why it's so important to get it right and to be able to measure something that matters. For example, if the rating system says, well, graduation rates are going to be one of the things that we measure here, a place like Madison might do really well under those metrics. However, if they were to measure something like the percentage of students who are low income, Madison wouldn't do very well on that metric. So finding out the right measure, the right data to be monitoring and judging colleges on is important, but also realizing that one size fits all just might not work for all campuses across the country. It's going to be tough to do.
Yeah, and this plan is still pretty embryonic, but it's ruffled quite a few feathers already. There was a New York Times piece about college presidents responding quite concerned about what this could say about their college campuses. And then when you bundle this in with the fact that President Obama would like to direct financial aid to colleges based on these metrics, and it gets even more complicated, why do you think it's been so controversial so far?
Well, there are two parts of the controversy, I think. The first one is the primary purpose of the rating system. What is the primary purpose? That question hasn't really been answered in a really consistent way so far. And so that's part of the controversy. Some advocates say, well, we want this rating system to help students make better choices about where they go to college. If they just made better choices, maybe we wouldn't be in this big mess that we are in right now. And so by that standard, it's seen as sort of a consumer advocacy-oriented, you know, mechanism. On the other hand, though, you've got folks who say, well, this rating system is really important to hold institutions accountable for broad policy goals. So if our policy goal, if the federal government's policy goal is to expand opportunities for low-income students, for example, then they would want to be sure to measure, hold the feet to the fire, right, with that measurement. So there's not really consensus about whether this is supposed to be designed to help students make choices or whether it's supposed to be designed to help institutions be more accountable to the public. That really hasn't been clear, and it's going to be hard to do both with one system.
Well, let's take a look at the consumer advocacy angle. A White House spokesperson sort of compared it to a blender, saying, well, you know, there are ratings on blenders and I can look and I can choose based on these ratings. Why shouldn't this work the same way? Why shouldn't the market shake down the way colleges are approached by consumers? Because in a sense, families and students, they're consumers. What's wrong with that argument? Is there anything?
There is a lot wrong with that argument. And the people who are advocating for these policy changes, I think aren't as willing to engage in those conversations. That's a little bit too abstract, I think, to really wrestle with. We want nice, clean solutions to problems and wash our hands and be done and move on. But this is really messy. The marketplace for educational opportunities is one that has winners and losers, just like any market does. And so framing education as a consumer product, as a consumption activity, not only privatizes and individualizes the experience, but also sets us up for this kind of competition where second and third chances aren't necessarily what we value and what we prioritize. And so the market logic, the market rationale is a tough one to sort of force into this discussion, but it's a convenient one because we can say, well, we measure things and we can put a rating on it. And just like we rate a blender, we can also rate a college. And it's overly simplified and promises more than what can actually probably deliver.
You know, for some students, there is a mystique around the very idea of colleges. Some colleges have a lot of that aura. You know, look at the Ivy Leagues like Princeton and Harvard and Yale. They seem like places if you get in, you might not be thinking so much about the price tag. You're just thinking, hey, I got into one of these big name universities. I'm going to worry about the price tag later. But maybe this could have the effect of sort of stripping some of that aura away and forcing students to look at sort of the brass tacks of it. Is that something that could happen? And would that be a positive?
In theory, it could. The evidence isn't there to say that it does or will. And so sometimes we look to the health industry, not often for examples, but in this case, it might actually apply, where there were some ratings for cardiac surgeons, for example, in the early 90s in New York, where they had some incentives to actually underserve the sickest patients. And so because this performance standards were, or the performance incentives were designed in a way to really just serve those who have the best potential of outcomes. So a place like an Ivy League school like Harvard or Yale, or a place that's striving to be more prestigious, might actually have an incentive to turn students away. And so then those are the colleges that have the greatest amount of resources and that can help students pay for college and keep prices low through their endowments, for example. But it's your regional public schools, it's your community colleges, it's other colleges that enroll far more students that don't have those kind of resources, and the students don't necessarily have the luxury of shopping around and choosing which college is right for them. They want one that's convenient, that's close by, where they can keep working their full-time jobs, for example.
Right. And so is your argument there that, you know, you live somewhere that has a local college, you can afford it, and it's going to admit you. It might not get great ratings, so maybe you shouldn't be scared away from it.
That's kind of, yeah, I mean, that's kind of a purpose of this rating system, I think. I would hope that would be the case. But the challenge, though, is getting those measurements right and getting the metrics right so that a college like that doesn't get a poor rating and, as a result, doesn't get its federal aid stripped out from under it. And so that's going to be the real challenge, is who is this? What kind of college is this designed for? What kind of college student or prospective student is this designed to really serve? And those questions really haven't been answered, and it's going to be answered soon based on what they decide to measure in the rating system.
Well, we presume that it's designed to measure overall quality, and that's a difficult concept. Is it possible to come up with a metric that evaluates the quality of an education?
No, I don't think it is. And the evidence on student engagement and the influence of institutions, for example, on student learning is pretty sparse. I mean, it's not like it's a really cut and dry answer that we can measure quality in a really sophisticated or consistent way. In fact, the definition of quality is so subjective that each individual person has a different answer on what quality means to them, and especially in experience goods and service industries like education and health, for example. So you could have, you go to the doctor and you have really good bedside manner. The doctor has really good bedside manner. You might think that that's a good quality, depending on your preferences of what you like to have for that experience. Somebody else might prefer a doctor who doesn't stick them poorly with the needle. So there's a lot of different ways we can measure quality and a lot of subjective ways to measure quality. And so a rating system, to get it right, would have to be able to measure every single possible option there, and it's just impossible to do. And so on those merits, no, you can't measure quality.
We're joined now by Nick Hillman, Assistant Professor in Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison. We're talking about President Obama's proposal for a national college rating system, which he'd like to be in effect by the academic year of 2015. The proposal comes as tuitions soar and graduates are having trouble in the job market.
And we'd like to hear from you. Would you make use of a college rating system like this, maybe for yourself, maybe for your kid? Would this help hold colleges accountable or maybe stigmatize colleges unfairly? And if you are a high school counselor looking at students applying for college, or if you work at a college or university, what do you make of this idea? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We're talking about President Obama's proposal for a national college rating system. The president has said he'd like to see the system up and running by the academic year of 2015. The proposal comes as we see students graduating with large debt loads and entering shaky job markets. We're joined now by Nick Hillman, Assistant Professor in Educational Leadership and Policy Analysis at UW-Madison.
And we'd like to hear from you. Would you like to see a system like this in place, or would you have liked to see it in place before you went to college? What would you want to see rated in a system like this? What would you want to see it evaluate? What would be useful to you? Call in at 800-642-1234. And how do you measure the value of a college education? 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
So, Nick, to follow up on the question of what would you like to see rated, one of the things that seems to be on a lot of people's minds is the amount of debt that their students or they are going to accumulate if they get that college degree. And that seems like a good starting point.
Absolutely. And the question that you asked before about can you measure quality kind of gets to this too. Yes, you can measure these things. You can measure debt burden. You can measure students, preferences on certain surveys and things like that. It's possible to measure all these items, but to measure it in a way that's meaningful to everybody in the same way is very different. So, for example, with student loan debt, that's a pretty, standard measurement. I mean, people know what a dollar is worth and what it means to be $1,000 or $10,000 in debt. They have a sense of what we have a sense of what that means to our pocketbooks. And so that ought to be included in the measure. In the rating system in some way. Some sort of affordability measurement is core to helping students understand the financial implications of their decision to enroll in school. But at the same time, there's no guarantee that you will graduate with $10,000 in debt or any certain dollar value of debt, because you don't actually accumulate that debt until well after you've enrolled. And so that's one of the big challenges of trying to provide information that says, okay, you might graduate with this amount of debt, but there's really no guarantee.
And we're going to go to our phones now, and you can join in the conversation at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What do you think about having a national college rating system, and what would you like to see rated? We're going to go first to Dan in Menominee. Hi, Dan.
Hi. So I just wanted to make a comment about it. I went to the University of Minnesota up in Crookston, Minnesota, and I went to school for environmental science, basically, it's natural resources, and graduated in 3 years, and I did leave with about $20,000 in student debt. The thing that I did like about the University of Minnesota Crookston and the whole University of Minnesota system is that they have a 13-credit expense cap. So if you take 13 credits or anything lower than that, you pay the number of credits you take. But if you take 14, 18, 21 credits, you still only pay for the 13 credits.
Okay,
so it really... What?
Sure, go ahead, Dan.
So it just encourages the students to take more credits and get out of college sooner.
All right, great point. Thank you, Dan. So someone, University of Minnesota, Minnesota approaching it from a different perspective. What about approaches like that?
Yeah. This is the neat thing about the way that our public universities are organized and governed is they have autonomy to do what's best for students and to organize their curriculum and their programs in ways that are the most responsive to what their educational goals are. And so the federal rating system wouldn't go so far, at least it shouldn't go so far, as to say, you know, every school needs to adopt the example that Dan just gave. So you don't see, you're not going to see that level of detail of sort of influence from the federal rating system. But the rating system might ask things about how long does it take for a student to graduate on average. Might be helpful information for somebody who's trying to search out the right college for them. They can say, hey, well, how long did it take my classmates to finish their degrees? Whether or not that's going to influence how they behave is a whole different issue, but it's been proposed.
Another interesting critique that has come up of this whole plan is that it could disproportionately affect liberal arts programs, because one proposed metric would be how much do graduates earn when they get out. And so if you look at, you know, I don't know, an English major to pick on them, they might not be earning, you know, the same thing a business major is making.
Right. And employers, from my understanding of the research on this, the employers are more interested in an employee who can get along with people and who can be a positive person in the work environment. And so the liberal arts, I can think of really no better place for a student or a person to grow in those ways. And so, yeah, they might not make the kind of money that somebody who's studying something else, like business, for example, will do, but they might have other skills and other dispositions that employees are looking for. And so that's a tricky one, too. So if you only think that money is the only thing that matters in the labor market and not these quality of life indicators or other types of factors that matter in employability and in your work experience, then we're preferencing one despite the promise and potential of others that are also important.
And let's go back to the phone lines. Now, Pam is with us in New Holstein. Hi, Pam.
Hi.
Hi, what do you think?
My comment is I've helped my children, myself included. I had loans when I went to school, and then when I decided to get my master's, I took advantage of a employer contribution to my education. But I've helped my kids to kind of pick where they wanted to go, looking at job placement after graduation, where jobs are in the field that they're looking at, how much will it cost to get that education at that facility, because what we found out is that a lot of times, like my one daughter wants to go into accounting, that she could get the same job with an associate degree as she could a bachelor's degree. So she can just go to technical college for that instead of paying for a bachelor's degree.
Okay, so Pam's talking about different ways to approach those degrees, getting creative with solutions, and maybe ratings like this would help if you're looking from that perspective. What do you think?
It could, but that kind of gets at the point of what all are you going to include in this rating system? All the questions, all the potential questions that a family or a student are going to want answers to are so numerous that a rating system isn't going to be able to answer everybody's questions in the kind of way that they might like. And so will the rating system take the accounting program at a local community college and rate that program and rate it in comparison to the local bachelor's accounting program? I don't think so, but that's kind of the level of detail that families like the lady who just called in would like to have. And so it gets back to the point of, you know, what we measure is going to matter here, and it's going to not capture things completely. And so it kind of mutes the impact that it might have, that a rating system might have on any sort of behavioral decisions that people make. A lot of times people are making their educational choices, if they have choices at all, according to intrinsic preferences and futures that are that are no way to be known. And so so sometimes it's not even the questions about labor market returns. It's more questions about just how well do I fit at this institution.
Right. At one point, Nick, that you make, you've written about that, is that you think it's impossible to know the outcome of an education until after it's over. You want to speak to that and why you think that might get in the way of the efficacy of a rating system?
Sure, sure. That's a great question. The ratings proponents, like the undersecretary who is leading this effort at the federal level, has compared a rating system to a blender. She says it's just as easy as measuring and rating a blender, and so we should be able to apply that same type of logic to education. But when I buy a blender, I had no involvement in the production of that blender. It was made in China, and I just bought it off the shelf for $10. And I could have bought the one next to it for $15, but I chose this one for whatever reason. But I had no part in making that blender. I strictly consumed it. And I had a warranty on it, by the way. And so when it comes to my education or my healthcare or anything where I'm the input, but I'm also the product of some sort of function, then it just screws up the way that we think about all of this stuff. So for education, for example, I'm not just a passive learner that's just sort of downloading information that I can retain in my head. I'm part of a learning experience. And the way that I engage with my learning experience is the way that I'm going to leave that institution. And so if the college is doing what's right, they should be able to be transformative in people's lives. And so by virtue of that, it's going to be impossible to, use a rating system in terms of consumer reports and how we rate blenders. It's we got to think of it in a new way of how we think colleges ought to change people's well-being.
Nick, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you.
We've been talking to Nick Hillman, an assistant professor in educational leadership and policy analysis at UW-Madison.